Welcome to the Unpacking Sunday podcast, where we take a deeper look at what God is speaking to you, to our church, and to the world around us. So grab a coffee, sit back, and let's unpack it together.
All right. Welcome back.
It's good to be here.
Pastor Mikey Flex
is in the house.
We also have Luke back with us.
Luke is back for all the way from Palm Springs, California.
Must be nice. Eh?
He's looking quite pink.
Yeah, I'd say bronzed. There's elements of pink in there.
He looks relaxed and refreshed and ready to go.
Rejuvenated, regenerated,
restored,
rejoicing.
Are you? Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is.
That's happy good. To be here.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you back. We missed you.
Also, Josh is here.
Yeah, so. Mike does not look... Well, you look a little pink.
Yeah, because I was just laughing.
Maybe a little flushed.
That's just what happens when I laugh.
Yeah.
It's my natural skin tone.
Josh is here.
We're all here, and it's good to be back.
It is.
We are almost at Easter. We're sitting here in the middle of...
Halfway through Holy
what
Week.
What we would call Holy Week.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think I called it Passion Week the other day.
I think we can take that too.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. People would say that too.
They do? Okay, good. I was like, did I screw that up?
Yeah.
No, it's just, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, no, you can say that.
That's good. Passion Week.
Holy Week, Passion Week.
Whatever tomato, denominational tomato. Background you come from,
yeah.
Use that word for it. Yeah.
Or like the week before Easter, you could say that too.
That's true.
The week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday.
I love Palm Sunday.
Okay, tell me more about that. Why do you love it?
I've always, well, growing up, Anglican, we always used to like literally wave palms around. I think you did as well. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that was one of the Sundays that always really stuck out for me in my early childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. We were like hardcore at Easter, Anglicans.
Mm-hmm.
We actually would sometimes be off school.
Really?
Like on Ash Wednesday, we'd take the day off school and go to church.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And we'd like do the ashes on our forehead. We'd always have pancakes on Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday.
You did it all.
Yeah. Hardcore.
It's a good week, Holy Week, isn't it?
But that none of that is Holy Week, what we just said. That was like a while ago.
Palm Sunday through
but
Easter.
Anyway, leading up to Easter is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It brings you right back to all those memories growing
up. So we didn't wave palms.
No, we didn't.
We did not.
I think we have at this church before, though.
We have waved them.
Yeah. But this week we didn't wave palms. But I hope you did.
We talked about people who waved palms.
We did, as Jesus entered Jerusalem riding.
Tell us, what is Palm Sunday all about?
Palm Sunday is all about when Jesus rode in as the king that nobody expected, and he rode in under the praises of the people singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest.
Or like we were just talking about Jesus Christ Superstar, and in that show they would say, Hosanna, hey, Zanna, 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 ho.
They would, yeah. Maybe we can Zanna, bring that back next year.
Hey, Zanna. Hey, JC, JC.
My favorite one was always, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Okay.
That's why I'm not the worship pastor.
That's Brooke.
Yeah.
That's Brooke.
But it was a good day, and Jesus rides in triumphantly atop a donkey, the type of steed you would never expect. You didn't like the use of the word steed there already? I thought that was a good use.
Okay, anyway, keep going. So he's on a donkey.
He's on a donkey. You never expect a king. A king should ride in a war horse or something of honor, right? A gallant animal, but our king, he rides in humbly on the back of a donkey. And so it's a testament to what Jesus does, is he humbles himself onto the cross, ultimately for our sake. And so as we begin this week, you know, we see kind of this is the first step building up into the story of Easter. Good Friday is our next kind of, if you follow the liturgical calendar, that's the next celebration that we're going to have on, I don't know if you call it a celebration, it's more like a reverent it's almost like a funeral, right? You take the opportunity to grieve, to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. We don't want to rush through Good Friday to get to Easter. That's when the real celebration happens, that not only did he die, but he rose again. And so, yeah, so Palm Sunday is the first step of this Holy Week that we have entered. And so you brought up in your Palm Sunday sermon, the story of Mary and Martha, which I know is actually from being your friend.
But it's not the story of Mary and Martha, because we do read earlier in Jesus' life a story of Mary and Martha, where one of them is quite busy and the other one's just sitting at Jesus' feet.
Yeah, Martha can't stop cleaning.
So do not get
Jesus, can you tell Mary to help me?
Yeah, no, he will not.
No, because your king is in your presence. We're talking about
a different dinner.
We're talking about your favorite story of Mary and Martha. One of my
favorite stories.
Yeah, I think this might be Luke's also. It's both of your guys' favorite. Yeah. And so what happens in this story? If
you go like back to maybe like the 90s and you could sing that song, Alabaster Box. I love that song. CeCe Winans.
Too young.
We're going to really throw it back.
Yeah.
Love that song. Anyway, I love this story where Mary, out of nowhere, it seems, decides to anoint Jesus' feet in this extravagant moment of worship where she pours out this expensive perfume on his feet and dries his feet with her hair. And this comes all in the face of people in the room who are criticizing her and judging her for what she's doing. And I love this story because I just love the extravagance of what Mary does. And I love that she does it, even though it cost her something, like physically cost her something, it cost her reputation. I love that she does it like unsolicited. And so anyway, I love this story. And so it came because, like I said on Sunday, I'm always quite grumpy. Like after Palm Sunday, because if you're following the story of what's happening in Holy Week, it's like, okay, people are pumped about Jesus on Sunday. And then suddenly they can't stand, they can't stand him. And they're screaming, crucify him on Thursday night. Right. And so it's quite a rapid
turnaround, right?
Like this mob turns on him pretty much.
Yeah.
And
they
I just
180.
And so this year I was like, okay, how can we actually worship on Palm Sunday knowing that this is coming? How can we do that? Right. Or how could we be like one of the people who were with Jesus at the beginning and with Jesus at the end? And if you read the account of Jesus hanging on the cross, there's only, I think, four people mentioned that are actually still standing with him at the end. And there's the three Marys and there's John standing nearby. I picture him not even really standing with the Marys.
I feel like Jesus passed John when he's like, take care. This is now your mother.
So it says he's just standing nearby.
That's how I picture
There's Mary and Mary.
Yeah.
And then John over there. It's kind of crazy when you think like at Passover, at the beginning of the week, there were thousands of people.
And it gets reduced to that extent.
To four of them. So anyway, as I shared on Sunday, I was just thinking this week, how on earth, how do we be like these four people who can still stand with Jesus no matter what happens? And so then I was brought to this story that takes place the night before rides into Jerusalem is where you see Mary anointing his feet. And so what is it about Mary that that she can last through the whole week?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Mary this whole time. She has such like a clear understanding of who Jesus is for her. Like, she recognizes him. She sees the way that he has impacted and radically changed her life. And she's not afraid to like let that recognition shine through despite what anybody else sees or thinks or understands even. Like, I know we mentioned it's a different story when Martha is caught up serving, but even in this, I'm just reading again. In verse 2, it starts with the words, Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard. So then it goes into what Mary did. So even while like people are so caught up in, and even in good things, even caught up in service or caught up in, you know, whatever they ought to be doing, it's not bad that Martha served, but Mary just had this recognition and this like she didn't really care about anything else. She didn't care about what it looked like. She didn't care about what other people's opinions were. She knew who her king was and she was here to worship him. And there's something very beautiful about that, like of no longer needing to worry about what other people think when you recognize who your king is and what he's done for you and what he's doing for you. And we on this side of the cross, we really don't have an excuse. Like if this is the night before they ride into Jerusalem. And I mean, Mary didn't know exactly everything that was about to take place this week, but we have the value of hindsight. We can see everything, right? But we still sometimes struggle to recognize Jesus for who he is, even in the moments where we see him moving or doing a work in our lives. So how can we, as even as believing Christians, how can we avoid like the temptation to just get caught up even in good things, like just service or like duty or you know, hey, I'm giving my time, I'm serving at the church, but I might be missing out on what Jesus is actually doing in this moment.
Yeah, I think, not to repeat Sunday, but I mean, it was the first point of what we talked about on Sunday, is we talked about like lasting worship or lasting devotion to Jesus begins before a crowd forms.
Yep.
And that's what you see in the example of Mary, is before there's ever this crowd in Jerusalem, Mary in this private gathering is pouring everything she has on Jesus' feet. And imagine if we would do that. We would recognize that like the only meeting Jesus isn't confined to just being at church. It's not confined to just serving or when there's a church service happening or when people are paying attention to me or anything like that. But lasting devotion to Jesus, the kind that will actually get you through whatever happens in your life, starts when it's just you and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you can't do that, I would even argue like I will be surprised if your faith lasts the test of what life was going to throw at you. Mm-hmm. Because really, there will be times in your life where you are back to this moment where all you have
Everything's been cut away and it's just you and Him,
right?
Yeah.
And many of us have been there, and we will find ourselves there again. And so I think that's where we have to start. It's like just me and Jesus. It doesn't matter anything else.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, I guess what I've seen like in church culture too, is it can start there, like earnestly can start there. You know, somebody has this moment where they accept Jesus into their heart, they're transformed, they're excited. You know, in our circles, we call it like being on fire for God. And then that kind of fate, like then they get into serving, they get into whatever, you know, they're attending regularly, they're in a life group, great. But then almost these structures that they've introduced into their life begin to replace that one-on-one time with Jesus. And then they find themselves being like, ah, well, you know, I had to prepare, like I was talking at youth or something. So I read my Bible, but you weren't reading it for you.
Right.
You weren't having that one-on-one time with Jesus. You were doing it for a purpose, right? Same thing. It could even be the same thing in like a worship context. Like, oh yeah, I've spent all week, you know, worshiping. But was it like preparing those songs or was that you and Jesus having you worshiping him in those intimate moments? So we almost can replace our devotion with our service.
Yeah. So then the moment that you do that, can you just like run back
to
like your first love and your devotion to Jesus? Like I was even just sharing with you this morning, like I just had this moment this week as I'm preparing like to speak on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I just last night was saying, oh, I just want to read the Easter story like for myself, not to prepare, not to anything.
Yeah.
Like I just want to sit in it. And so late last night, I just found myself like at my kitchen island just reading. Sorry, it's the most beautiful story I'll ever read, so it catches me off guard. But like just reading it and like letting myself sit in the story of Jesus and what he accomplished. And it's remarkable, like if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you while you do these kind of things, these disciplines that are just between you and Jesus. That's it. Reading your Bible, worshiping in your car, fasting when no one knows that you're fasting. Like when you're doing these disciplines that are like, I don't care. Like, you know, we talked on Sunday, even this principle that lasting devotion doesn't pay attention to other people. It doesn't. We learned that from Mary too. She didn't care what other people thought of her. She just only cared about her and Jesus. And it's to remember, like, my whole life is to be lived before an audience of one, which is Jesus Christ. And so if we could, it's going to happen to you over and over and over again that you get caught up, because those are the things that we celebrate. We celebrate the tangible things. We celebrate, and maybe it's, we shouldn't, but we celebrate when people are serving and when they've done something great, right? And so it's natural for us to get caught up in that and to want to do those things. And that's fine, but it can't replace this part that's just me and Jesus. This like irreplaceable, like the only thing that will actually sustain you.
Well, if that's not there, it becomes hollow quickly too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
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 And so
I like.
Just can we just run back quickly?
Yeah.
Because we're all gonna get there. So don't get hung up on it. Like if you are finding yourself like, oh, I'm just serving for the sake of serving, or you know, and you've kind of lost the love of Jesus in the midst of serving the church. Thank you for serving the church, but just like run back to Jesus and don't stop serving. Like I'm not saying that either.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not saying stop doing good things. I'm just saying like make sure that you are worshiping, like and devoting your personal life to Him.
And well, that's what we mean too when we say like serve from the place of overflow, right? Like you got to be right with Him first, and to let your service flow from that. That's where you'll find effective service that bears fruit in the ministry that you're in. I like this idea that you just brought up of, you know, you mentioned on Sunday, like typically in that culture, it was custom that men would eat together and women would eat afterwards separately as well.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. And it was amidst that moment that Mary kind of busted in and was like, now is the moment that I worship you in front of all these other guys. What do you think are maybe some of the kind of customs or cultural expectations, pressures even, that you see today within people in your congregation, or maybe not, maybe just your friends, family, whatever it may be, that like kind of almost hold people back from worshiping?
Good question. I think the first one is probably, and it's addressed multiple times in scripture, is reputation. I think that's maybe the primary thing. So, and mixed in there is pride, I think, as well. And so like Mary's story talks about that. And then also we see like in the Old Testament, people like David, right? Who are also criticized for being too extravagant or making a fool of himself, or
You know? His wife, right?
Yeah.
Called him out when he was and naked worshiping.
He literally says, like, I'll get worse.
I'll get worse than
this. I'll become more undignified than this.
Exactly. Yeah.
If it means honoring Jesus properly.
Right.
And so I would say like our first deterrent probably is protecting our reputation. We don't want to be seen as like some crazy person or like too far out there. So I think we almost do it to ourselves. And then, like I said on Sunday, the sad part is Christians do this to other Christians. And we critique other people like, oh, they're like pretty radical in their faith, or they're like, you know, kind of out there. And we really, and that's the problem with Mary as well. Like, it's so crazy that the people who criticized Mary for worshiping Jesus were other people who were following Jesus.
Yeah, it's true. I think the best like modern example of that is like, we're gonna get into some sticky territory here, but there's almost like a condescending attitude or condescending spirit when you see like people almost like making fun of others who are like, you know, worshiping with flags or things like that. And it's like, oh, like that's too weird for me, or you know what I mean? But there's like some, like what we're talking about here, there's like some beautiful freedom in people who can worship like that and not care if you like the way it looks, because it's not for you. It's between them and God. It's the way that they, with everything they have, will lift up their, they'll devote their energy, they'll lift their voices, and they can even look like a fool. It doesn't matter, because we shouldn't be looking at them anyways. It's in those moments they're intimate with God, but you always hear that and you're like, okay, I get that's not how you would worship, or that's not how you would want to worship, but why are we condescending people? And I'm not saying go around and like make a fool of worship. Like, we also have seen it taken too far where, you know, like we've seen like barking like dogs and stuff like that. It's like, we don't need to take it to that extent, but if somebody's genuinely worshiping, was our first instinct to try to clamp down on how they worship, and so that it looks appropriate to me.
So, and then if we branch out and we're not only talking about singing songs as worship, right?
Yeah, right.
Even on Sunday, we're talking about lasting devotion, right?
Yeah.
And so what is like a cultural barrier, you were asking, to this kind of idea of like extravagant worship or extravagant devotion to Jesus? I think also selfishness under the disguise of wisdom. So we, like, when it comes to like living our lives, we say, oh, I would love to do that for God, but like, it's not a wise choice, or like, it's not what's best, or like, I gotta we've got to earn money. We've got to do this. We've got to be responsible with this. And I don't really buy into that very quickly of like, oh, it's like we're going to call it wisdom.
Yeah.
But really, like, God's asking you to do something and you don't want to do it because it's going to cost you too much or it's going to be too uncomfortable. And so you're going to say, well, I've got a family or I've got kids or I've got to make a living or whatever. And it's like, oh, no, actually, as a Christian, you've got to be obedient. Yeah. That's all you've got to do.
You actually hear that in marriage a lot, too. You're like, oh, we're going to get married, but I just got to finish school, just got to get a job, just got to buy my house.
This all the time. You hear this in, like, we hear it in ministry. We hear it outside of ministry.
Yeah.
People quashing vision and obedience for what they would...
For what makes sense.
Put the label as wisdom.
Right, yeah.
Right, but it's not wisdom. Wisdom is the fear of God.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? That's what is the root of wisdom.
Yeah.
So fear God enough that you would do what he says.
Right. Yeah. Be obedient to what he commands.
And so I would say like that is a cultural thing, like especially in the church, that we love to call wisdom things that are not really wisdom, that are actually maybe fear and selfishness.
I think a really good topical example of that. Have you seen how this whole like Kanye West thing has gone? How he's like stepped away from his faith?
I've seen a little bit. I'm not really up to date.
He was just saying, it's interesting that you said this, the the reason...
about fear in God?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's the main reason why. He's like, oh, well, why should I fear God? Why? So he's kind of... And then, obviously, the answer to that is you fear either God or you fear yourself, right? You either serve God or you become your own God. Hmm. And so, like you're saying, the root of wisdom is the fear of God. We even... He almost was even, like, guising his reason to leave as wisdom. Mm-hmm. Even though it was coming from what he believed rather than from what God commanded. Right. So you see this literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. This idea of if it doesn't align with what I already think, then it's wrong. Yeah.
So this bleeds into like maybe in the last point we might make on the podcast, but it's one of the points from Sunday as well, is like lasting devotion and worship to Jesus costs us something. Right. And so everybody knows about the story of Mary as well, like how expensive this extravagant moment of worship was. And I just think in our lives, we are not going to have lasting devotion. We're not going to be able to live lives of lasting worship, no matter what life throws at us, if we don't comprehend this idea that it is going to cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so even with what we're talking about before, just a minute ago, like if we don't grasp that actually this is all going to be uncomfortable, I'm going to lose something in the wake of following Jesus, then we're not going to make it to the end. We're not going to be like one of those four people still on Friday standing beside Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're not, because it's going to cost you too much, right? And so if we can't voluntarily give up what it costs, then when the going gets tough, how are we going to do it later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was praying for a friend a while ago and it was like, God gave me this picture of just us bowing before him. And like, it's funny because as Christians, we can sometimes be trite. Like one day, every knee is going to bow before Jesus, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter. But it's like, even for Christians today, one day, you are going to bow before Jesus, right? And as Christians, we're not always good at bowing. But like something is going to happen in your life until you're obedient to Christ.
Yeah.
And if that takes your whole life and it takes hardship, you are going to bow your knee to Jesus.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what it takes. It's going to cost you something. So you might as well just get used to it and pay now, right? So I just think we need to understand that, like, if we're going to persevere, like these few people who made it through that very first Holy Week, we have to be willing to lay it on the line, so to speak.
And like, I think it's important to remember too, sometimes we're like, you know, we're hesitant to do this because we think that, well, we know that it's going to cost us something, so we're hesitant to bend our knee. But even if we, like you're saying, even if, like, refusing to do that doesn't protect you from losing these things that you're holding on to so tightly anyways. Like, either way, there's only one way, and it's Jesus, right? So whatever you're trying, it's like, you know, what he gives, he can take away. And whether you kneel to him now or not doesn't prevent him from taking things away. So it's like the sidelines don't protect you, you know, but we have this idea that for some reason they do. If we can just kind of close our eyes to it and plug our ears to it, maybe not, but that won't, and it won't ultimately help your case. It won't allow you to hold on to this thing that you love more than God any longer than you would have, even if you bent your knee. So,
and all of this springs from a place of like actually genuinely walking with Jesus and being with him, like even when no one's asked you to, right? So all of these things work together, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking at like, okay, lasting devotion is just you and Jesus, begins before the crowd forms, right? We talked about that. It all plays into each other and springs off.
Yeah, you can't have any of these
elements.
Right?
You're never going to get to a moment where you voluntarily give up whatever it costs to Jesus if you haven't seen Jesus in the secret place, right? Like, you're not going
to
be there.
Yeah, if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to trust him to hold this
thing. If you just only have like that surface level, I come to church, it's not surprising, right? Because
most people will walk away. Yeah. Just like we saw in the first Holy Week.
So, anyway, that's my hope and my prayer for us, right? Even as I shared on Sunday, is that as we journey, especially this week, that we would cling to Jesus in the, even though it's hard and it's difficult. And if you actually watch the story, it would have been so extreme, like to have to try to stay with him. And I mean, we can quickly say, oh, I would never do that. But really, if you were it, you were there, we don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so all we can do is learn from what we see in
Scripture.
We
think we would have done better than Peter.
Yeah. And so, but we can learn from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully cling to Jesus no matter what our life looks like this week.
Well, however your week has been going, we pray that you've been taking time to reflect on what this looks like for you, what devotion and worship looks like for you and in your, you know, your prayer closet with God or whatever disciplines or worship time you have with him. We pray that that relationship would deepen for you guys. And we will see you on Good Friday as we move into the rest of Holy Week and look forward for the celebration on Sunday. So God bless you and we'll see you soon.
Unpacking Sunday is a podcast of Caribou Road Christian Fellowship Church. If you're interested in more information, please check out our website at www.crcfchurch.com.